Angela.
I'm Moss, and welcome to Queerly Yours.
We are two queer, polyamorous folks who have often been asked for relationship advice by friends, so we decided to put our insights on the internet.
This is a podcast about how we have built our relationship over time, and how you can build yours too. And today we're doing kind of a goofy one, because my brain is full of weasels.
Not fun weasels this time, unfortunately.
No, I mean, weasels can really party. I'm sure there are some very fun ones out there, but it's more just like, I work in education, and we're about a month from summer, and I am so fried.
So as part of us, I think, trying to expand the amount of times we do other kinds of topics that aren't like super in-depth serious, or just us just wanting to enjoy part of the podcast as, again, this is us just spending some time together and also us going into the fun things that help keep, you know, our relationship going. Moss has come with a very interesting idea for this.
Yeah, so I looked up some internet ideas. And I was looking to see if I could find some more relationship quizzes or things that were fun to do. And one of the things that the internet ended up suggesting to me was a thing called the Newlywed Game, which basically appears to just be questions about your partner that you see if you know answers to or you speculate about answers to. And a lot of the websites that I could find versions of this on are very pink and they have a lot of pop-up ads. And they suggest that you could do this at a bridal shower or a bachelorette party or a group date. And that they're providing you the questions, so all you need to do is add champagne, and you'll be good to go. So that's the vibe that these lists come from.
I can't help but think that my dread at this is going to grow as we go through each question.
Well, see, the thing that's goofy is that it honestly really varies, because some of the stuff on here is pretty reasonable, and then some of them are really absurd. And so it's kind of up to both of us how much we want to lean into really absurd, cheesy ones versus relatively understandable ones in terms of stuff that you could ask a partner.
I say do one for one. We go with the understandable question by your evaluation and then go for a more, what kind of question?
Yeah, so here's some ones. I'll link these in the show notes too in case anyone wants to do something like this for their own relationship. Yeah, this one has some relatively reasonable stuff, including some that you can just actually track. For example, number 9 on this list, I know we know the answer to. Who is most likely to deal with the spider?
Moss.
Yes, 100%.
Moss. I fear the spiders. I have moved away from actively immediately killing every single one of them that I see, but that's about the most you'll get out of me in the past few years.
Yep. And I'm the one who goes and gets a cup and carefully scoops them into it and shakes them out into the backyard.
I don't do well with things that do creepy crawlies around me. It just doesn't work out very well.
Mm-mm. Another one I thought was cute off of this list is, what's their pet name for you?
Do we have time to list them all? We have like 15 at this point.
Yeah, that was part of why I liked that one. I feel like we've got such a range.
We have Cuddlebug. Cuddlebugs are like primary.
Lots of bugs.
There's a lot of bugs.
Cuddlebug,
really.
Lovebug,
Snugbug. Hugbug.
Oh, we said Snugglebug in unit.
That was cute. Uh-huh. Yes, we are that predictable and cute.
Love, babe, hun, darling.
Otter used to be one, then we sort of switched out from using that one.
It's still cute though.
Yeah, we're rabbit, and then I've also been a few other little things as well.
Cricket sometimes. You call me Moss Boss lately, because that was part of how you started to learn my new name, was to practice it like
that. That was definitely one that hung on. I occasionally refer to you as Yoshi, or at least we do, mainly because...
I always play Yoshi in Mario games.
Yes, and for the hilarious benefit of our listeners, I will note that you can imagine Moss at our most recent household, the Mario Party game, literally doing the replicating the odd habit Yoshi has in one of the most recent Mario Party games of literally just jumping out and sticking their ass backwards, like every time they do a yay,
it's
I won
like
a mini game
congratulation
thing.
Pose.
It's like I'm what. This sounds absurd, but if you go check every time Yoshi wins or like does a celebration, ass out.
Mm-hmm. I just kept doing that every single time I won something because it made Ange laugh.
Every time.
I do lots of things to make you laugh.
It's kind of the main like incentive for me to do ridiculous things half the time.
It's a good incentive. It works. It supports me a lot. But yeah, so like some of these are really direct. Some of these I don't have any goddamn idea. The first one is, what did they wear on the first date? I don't know what even counts as our first date, and I don't fucking remember at all. It was 10 years ago.
That is a good question.
We were college students. I mean, I probably wore cargo shorts.
I probably wore just jeans and like a basic tee. Yep. I didn't have as many band tees by the time I was being... That's true. It was far less than what I used to have in high school, which was primarily just like band t-shirts. It was a lot of Beatles shirts because I used to be a very big fan of the Beatles. And then slowly over time, it just like grew into what I refer to as the baby trans first steps shirts, which were like the, I will now go over to the women's section. Oh, this is a thing that looks vaguely feminine, but it still mostly kind of functions as like a t-shirt or just a shirt you wear on a hot day because college students in SoCal in the middle of summer, I'll wear that.
Yep.
Those kind of really the only big moves that have happened in my wardrobe over the years. It's just, it's become more feminine and I still default to mostly jeans and like shirts, but most of them just tend to be now more low cut or have cleavage now because I have boobs.
Yeah, the tailoring on stuff is different both because your body has changed and how you shop has changed a little bit.
Yeah, it's mostly just going for like bi pride flag colors, reds, and also because of another current partner and the way that they look in those colors, I started trying to get more mustard range of colors because they bring out more of my skin tone.
Yeah, yeah, you've got a real affection for that kind of rich, warm yellow, and it's really sweet.
Yep.
Yeah, also, when we were in undergrad, a lot of your dramatically femme stuff was gifts and trades and loans from friends of ours.
At Boosties.
Because people enjoyed getting to help dress you, and also we all lived on campus, so it was easy to gift and exchange clothes with people, and now you get to get more of that stuff for yourself directly.
Yeah, and like it was a lot of stuff like, oh, I don't know how to do this whole being feminine thing, so if I'm going to try and do it, it'll just apparently go whole hog into it, so I'd wear like a bustier, no undershirt, and then like a red dress, and go social dancing, which I would immediately come to regret when the room got super hot and the material was not breathable.
Yeah, I kind of stopped binding for most of undergrad because binding in Southern California sucks, y'all.
It sucks a lot. It's just, don't do it.
Today, I went on a grocery run and got my hair cut, and I wore an oversized vintage, I think Silk Blend Aloha shirt that I folded at the bottom and tied in a knot so that it became like a tie in the front crop top. And holy fuck, that felt so good. Having head top surgery is awesome. Fuck, I want to go to Southern California now.
See, this is why we needed to record tonight.
Yeah,
it's only
you're right.
For these moments of revelation and realization.
I hadn't thought about that. Oh my god, I could wear hot weather, like skimpy hot weather clothes, but with my body like it is now. Fuck, that's going to be so cool. I want to wear a crop top to like LA zine fests.
Your girlfriend is just gonna be standing there just like, I have nothing here except I don't have to automatically wear a jacket.
Yeah, well, you grew up there, so you're better calibrated to there to begin with than I am, and your temperature regulation is way different than mine.
I'm just a teddy bear in heat. Even as though I am mostly twig, I'm just a teddy bear because I insulate warmth so well.
Which is good for you, frankly, because one of the common side effects of E is people getting cold easier, but that doesn't seem to have hit you.
I mean, I get cold easier, but I also insulate warms.
That's true. Yeah, your baseline was strong enough.
My will is iron.
Nice.
I suppose the next question.
Yeah, we've got a big range. There's so many.
Just throw serious to silly. Keep going back and forth.
All right, this one has sort of a blend. Who is the best cook?
I'm inclined to think you.
I think by at least some metrics, I think I'm the more, like, emotionally comfortable cook.
Yes, I would say so.
And the more experimental cook.
I think you have a more starting knowledge base than I do.
Yeah.
I think once my tendencies with most hobbies and or skill sets is that I have a giant like block when it comes to starting them, but I tend to pick up most things that I show an even moderate level of interest in very quickly. Like, I am a quick study for most things once I devote some time and effort into looking into it. That's how most of my game hobbies have been. That's how most of my world building hobbies have been. That's how most of the skills that have helped me.
Yeah.
But I tend to stay in a relatively safe range of what I like to do and slowly build out from there. Your MO for most cooking things specifically is just like, oh, we'll just see what happens with this.
Because, yeah, I started learning to do it when I was, like, a toddler, so my context and emotional relationship to it is much more like cheerfully freewheeling than it is with if I'm like trying to learn a new skill now. So
whereas a lot more of mine was coming from a place of like, once I had to be like extremely focused on knowing how to make food for myself, or during one particular summer for my dad, it had to be a lot of like, I need a recipe in order to break the anxiety wall that's keeping me from doing anything, to make sure that like at least a recipe, it has a rough sense of how it's supposed to turn out. So that's a guideline and a map to give you a sense of how to go towards something, to anchor yourself towards something. But having to just think on the fly with what's available is often harder for me. So the result of that will be, once I find some things that work in different situations, I'll try and stick roughly to those.
Yep.
And just find variations of that, because that's easier for my brain to process.
Yeah, you learned to cook under much higher stress circumstances than I did. So like the stuff it's linked to is pretty different for each of us.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I'm hopping to a goofy one. Which Disney character are they most like?
Currently, with the level of joy you have around being able to be free and more open with your body, I'm going to say Gaston.
Oh my god, I don't know how to feel about that, but I am laughing.
So solely for the level of confidence and like...
For the ego.
Yes, solely for that. For no other qualities, but solely for... That's because I was one, because I wanted to be able to get that kind of joke in, and two, because that seems appropriate.
I haven't seen a lot of Disney movies in a long time, but I was going to say Meg from Hercules just because she seems like a top.
I never know how to react to when people tell me this, that I give off this energy. I'm not trying, everyone, and or friends who listen to this. I'm really not trying to do this.
I mean, I'm saying this from a very...
mischievous... personal experience point of view.
Yes. Also because I wanted to make you laugh.
And you shitster.
Yes, absolutely. You know it. All right, let's do a sweeter one. What's their favorite thing about them? It's one of my favorite things about me.
I think honestly ego, but not from the sake of like, oh, I'm so confident. It's just more like, I think actually, as much as you can sometimes get stuck in your own head about your own standards for yourself, I think you actually are just very aware of like, I know I'm pretty good. I know people, when they're getting my skill set for less than like what I expect it to be, that they should be grateful for that. Like, I think you have a very strong sense and foundation of who you are. When it comes to your own self-worth, honestly, like, I think you do actually have a much more robust, at least in my eyes, and compared to me, where mine feels mine internally, it's not that it's terrible or as bad as it used to be, it's just that it's not as automatic for me, and that's something that I've built up over time. Whereas I think for you, I don't feel like I need to necessarily worry about that being like shaky. The starting point for you is just like, oh no, I know I'm awesome. It's just, I'm not the same awesome I could be right now.
Or and like, there's too much shit happening in the world and it's interfering with my ability to be awesome or to enact my awesome vision.
And it's like, your hiccups tend to be around like, I am not being as awesome as I could be. It's like, no one can be as awesome as they can be all the time. It's like, I know, but I'm this awesome.
It's still
I should
unacceptable.
Be. It's unacceptable because I am this awesome. Like, I think honestly, I think you feel that most. And I think you do actually carry yourself on your best days with a sense of knowing that.
Lovely. Yeah. I think there are a range of things you like about yourself. I agree with you that, like, there are times that sense is shakier on the whole. But I feel like the, like, creative and powerful part of you, I've seen you revel in a lot. And also, like, the kind of friend that you are. Like, the ways you reach out to people and connect with people. You know, long before the pandemic, you were already had really solid and thoughtful habits of communicating a lot. That's really lovely.
Thanks.
Want an unanswerable question?
Sure.
What's their bra size?
Years ago, it was like 32B.
Yeah, neither of us know what our sizes are right now, as far as I know.
Because, like, pre-top surgery, you, like, boosted up when you went on birth control.
And... Yeah, exactly. I would have to go look at one of my bras, and the labels are kind of faded. I was a 32-something, I think. I might have been a 32D. But also, that shit varies by brand and is arbitrary as hell. And you now have the titty, but... I do not know what the measurements are.
I know I have no sense of what the titty is.
Yeah, because you grew them during the pandemic. We haven't been in a bra store.
Nope.
Do you technically own, like, a sports bra or two now?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I haven't really worn them that
and
much.
And those are all sized, like, small, medium, large, so they also don't tell
Yeah,
us.
They don't exactly... It's not helpful.
No. So that is a mystery. Question 18 is impossible. The unknowable question.
The titty is unknowable.
My bra size is now no.
See, I thought my comment of the titty is unknowable would make me laugh.
I mean, that's a good one too. That also, we could put that on a shirt.
The titty is
unknowable.
That'd
be good on a shirt, actually. It sounds kind of like a threat on a shirt.
I feel like if you add, like, in parentheses to you, it becomes, like, a nice, like, anti, like, groping, anti, like, sexual violence kind of thing. It's like, the titty is unknowable. To you. That would be really great for you.
If we ever make a Redbubble. Hey, folks, tell us what quotes it would be the weirdest / most entertaining for us to put on merch. I don't even care if people buy them or not. I just want to think about the concepts. Some of these I have no... There's some of these in here, too, that, like, feel almost pointless to answer because I don't think we have any goddamn idea. Like, what celebrity couple are you most like? What are celebrity couples? I don't...
They break up, like, every few months. Anyway.
I don't have any sense. Also, any knowledge I would have of those would be, like, parasocial and filtered through weird media lenses. I don't know what celebrities' relationships are like with each other. Nor do I want to.
I try not to look into these kinds of things. They get very, like you said, parasocial.
Yeah. And some of these we shouldn't answer because they're security questions. I'm not going to say what my first pet was named.
Yeah, no, I don't even remember that one.
I remember it because it was a fish. But as I said, I'm not saying their name on the podcast because that's a super common security question. Side note to people, if you ever see those little like game prompts online, things like, oh, like what would your stripper name be? You know, the name of the first street you ever grew up on, and like the name of your first pet, and you mix them together. Point one, don't answer those because usually people are making weird, crappy jokes about the concept that would be so hilarious and bizarre if any of you ever did sex work. That would be so funny and fucked up. That's not a good vibe. But also, a lot of those are literally like, people can data mine those and pull your common security question answers. Shit with first pet, first street, and mother's maiden name. Those are like, don't do those. Don't put those on your Facebook.
This is why I honestly really only answer the weird question compilations that come on Twitter solely because they're usually stuff like, no, I give an overly honest and direct answer that actually doesn't really help someone at all.
Exactly. I've also, I've never done this, but I've seen someone suggest that like a thing you can do for those classic security questions when you actually do them is just like pick fictional answers, but that are funny to you that you'll remember. You know, say you grew up in Asgard, you know, the first street you ever lived on was the Yellow Brick Road.
See, I didn't live on this street. I just always remember this street name because I thought it would be the coolest thing to ever tell someone that you live on it. It's like you take a left on Mulberry, you go a right on Cedar, and then to get to the street that I'm on, you take a left at Dark Horse Drive.
Dark Horse Drive, like the like sub publishing comic imprint of DC Comics, Dark Horse Drive
is it's where the edgier, it's where all the Frank Miller fans went because they didn't like how tame DC Comics were in general.
Oh, here's one that like is I think kind of cheesy but mildly interesting to me. Who would win in a game of Monopoly?
I think me.
I would agree. I'm curious to hear you describe why.
I think I would be more vindictive than you would be.
I think that's true. I am goofily fair sometimes. I will be mean to people in games, but mean as in following game rules, not like...
I know well enough about how much people don't expect me to be terrible, so I can use that to my advantage.
That's true.
Because I think most folks either associate me as just very... some level of wit, some level of sarcasm, or some level of, like, sweet bean. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of all of this, which is why I was able to get away with things like in high school being a top honors student. Because people don't expect you to pull random shit. Because they know you have the ethics and morals to follow up with certain things on that. That, like, you don't need to watch out for you because you're not one of the quote-unquote bad kids.
So you can plan things in secret.
Yes.
It's true. I was also that kind of kid. Here's another one from this example that I don't actually want us to answer. It's an example of the kinds of bullshit that can be on these. Which item of clothing of theirs do you hate the most? I don't hate any of your clothing. That's... I'm trying to think of what would qualify for something.
I mean,
like
I know
that.
Which part of my clothing I hate. And that's my one remaining Beatles shirt. But that's why it's actively the one I wear when I... It's the last shirt I ever wear. And it has holes in it at this point. So it's actively noting my disdain for said shirt.
Yep. Yeah, kind of same deal. Like, I have pieces of clothing. The clothing I hate the most is my bras. I want them gone. I just need to get together the wherewithal to put them up for donation.
Yeah, no, that's... I now hate your bras for you.
Aw, thanks, babe. Like, they're nice as bras. They're just bad for me.
They serve no purpose. There is no... You have gone through the de-teating.
I need to... Oh my god. Like, I need to Marie Kondo them, you know? Like, thank them for their... For, like, their service and what they've done for me. But I need to pass them on. Like, they don't need to be here. But yeah, there's one more on this list that I really like. And then I'm gonna hop to a different one for Chiller. If they could throw a
theme party. If I was gonna throw a theme party.
Faye.
Hmm.
It would be, like, something... I think you of all people could pull off an Alice in Wonderland one, but it would just be, I want all of the characters to just be Faye from, like, the summer or the what was it, the Sealy Court and stuff. Oh, yeah. Like, you would be like, and you would be the kind of nerd that would, like, expect, you wouldn't expect, quote unquote, in quotes, a cosplay, but if anyone had the means to do so... Because you have already got your outfit. You want them to revel in that. Would be a post pandemic sort of like thing that we would try and host. It'd be some sort of music gathering and or cosplay-ish kind of thing. Cosplay your favorite character and do not skimp on any details because this is the first social outing we're having so in like ages. So go weird because we're all going to be awkward post this. So just
lean into the weird.
Yes.
I can think of a lot of kinds of gathering for you to run. I know it's been, like, a long time since anything like that has gotten to happen. I feel like a theme party that I think you would enjoy the hell out of would an all-Cupac dance party.
Oh, that would be really nice to do. I'd like that.
Maybe, like, potluck style where, like, you make some key food, but people, like, bring foods that they like, they want to share, and a bunch of nice non-alcoholic drinks, especially Martinelli's apple cider.
Yes.
And yes. A nice outdoor dance space, and you could maybe pull up playlists faster.
Yeah, honestly, I could actually see myself trying to do that. That would be really nice to just get to have them do, just have a space for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And not even, like, that many people. Like, most I could see it'd be, like, 10 people.
But enough to have, like, a nice, warm little social space and to get to, like, celebrate and share some energy with other Cupac.
Enough people where it feels... like folks could have their own tiny little groups and float among groups.
Exactly.
Slash I could float amongst different groups and not be expected to be in one group the entire time.
Yeah.
Because if it's like 4 or 5 people, then it gets awkward if you try and do like a 2-person thing. But if it's like 10 to 15-ish people, then you can have little groups of like 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And like that works, or even just like a couple of like 2-person groups, some like a 5-person group, and then like a 3 or 4 group. Like, that's that mm-hmm. ideal arrangement. Because when it gets beyond that, then it's just like, there's too many people. I'm going to feel like I'm too responsible for feeding all of these people and or, like, making sure they're happy. Because that's hostess mode. My hostess mode is make sure everyone is happy. And I'm better at that when it's 10 people, not 30.
I love the degree to which you've thought of this. That was, like, a really creatively thorough answer. I also, that's part of why I mentioned the concept of you DJing, because I know that sometimes you like to attend parties by being there with your guitar, and you can hang out and play guitar, and people, like, enjoy that you're there, and sometimes come over and talk to you, but you don't have to, like, be doing a central or distinct social thing.
Yeah, that kind of covers it, actually.
Yeah. All right, so those were from onefabday.com's newlywed quiz list. Let's see. Oh, wow, this one is literally, that one's boring as hell. Marriage.com, your quiz is not
should I even ask?
It's just like, what is your spouse's shoe size? Where did your spouse spend their childhood?
I don't even know what my shoe size is anymore. I think it's like an 11 and a half.
I think it is. I've bought shoes for you more recently. You've bought shoes for yourself.
Yeah, see, you know, I don't know what yours
are. So
in that case,
I guess good newlywed game question. But yeah, I have plenty of shoes. I don't need new shoes. I'm a 7.5 wide, but that hasn't come up, like, almost ever. I don't think you've ever needed to buy me shoes in this relationship.
No, because you're the kind of practical person who, if you're going to get shoes, you're not going to leave it up to me to do. You're going to do it yourself.
No, I'm going to go and get a brand I know I like.
Exactly.
And sort it out myself. Also, a lot of the shoes that I have, I've owned for most of the time that I've known you.
Exactly.
I buy from good, durable hiking brands that last.
You're a practical queer.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of these feel more like...
Making sure they're not cheating on me questions in the last night.
Or also just like, I don't know, weird throw data sheets. It asks what their blood type is. I know there's some cultures where that's considered more significant or like there's like social things or concepts associated with that. But I have no fucking idea what your blood type is. I don't know if you know what your blood type is.
I don't know what my blood type is.
Uh-huh. I'm O positive. in case we're ever in an emergency situation, but it's on my donor card.
Ah,
anyway.
The bottom type.
Oh my god, did you just make that up to fuck with me?
Because yes.
I said, what I am is I'm the type that gets called a bunch by the donation center because I can donate to the majority. I'm not the universal donor, O negative, but I can donate to all the positive blood types. So they really want my blood. They ask me a lot. They haven't asked me in a while, though, because last time they called, they were like, cool, I just had surgery, so, like, give me a bit. I need all of my blood. I have no spare blood.
I would like to keep this blood for right
yes,
now.
Yes, there is no extra blood. I used more than usual lately. I lost some for other reasons.
Statements that aren't quite made by a vampire, but close, they're adjacent?
Just a little bit. Okay, this one we can kind of answer. What kind of colors do your spouse prefer?
I always just use more greens and kind of browns. Not like bright, vivid greens, mm-hmm. but more
earth
like
tone.
Subdued. Yeah, very mm-hmm. earth tones. I just, most of the color palette that I associate with you when it isn't screaming trans or screaming gay is just very much like if you were to suddenly one day lie down in a patch of dirt and just get subsumed into the earth, your clothing colors would have matched entirely.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, that tracks. I definitely own stuff that's not in that color range, but that color range is kind of my vibe.
Like, your color range is Ent.
Yeah, I like that. You, I think the phrase we always use is jeweled. You have lots of, like, warm color in your dresses. And I know some of that's also coincidental because you are red-green colorblind, but...
I always forget that part.
Well, it doesn't come up that often. Most of the time, it's not very relevant.
No, and most of mine, it usually tends to... It tends towards like bi pride flag colors or just yep. like I like the color ranges that I like tend to be very, like you said, they're jewel related, both like just in metaphorically, but also like I like crystals, I like geodes, I like what nature does with crystals and geodes and how they form and the kinds of like metaphors that can be done with that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so I like that in my outfits. Also stripes.
You do, yeah, you wear a lot of stripes. That's too, so if we were gonna do patterns, stripes would definitely be your pattern. What would my pattern?
Good question. I kind of would imagine squares.
Yeah, I do like plaids and florals are I think the two kind of pattern categories I end up
yeah plaids often. And florals, like I do floral femme who has just arisen as like a queen of spring. You do like soft butch who's just come out of the earth and is just happy to get to like wake up after like 3 centuries of sleeping to be awake for the 2 days that you're around for, and then you go back.
You're very evocative, my love.
You're with a writer. This is what happens.
I am. I like it. I'm with a poet. All right, I'm swapping over. Marriage.com was pretty sparse, but thedatingdivas.com says we should prepare to loll. They're also the page with the most pop-up ads on it. I've got to run my ad blockers.
I'm only slightly worried about this because I sense that this may be another one of those cases that prompt me to ask, are the cis and the straights okay?
A lot of these ones are relatively cute, honestly.
Okay.
Like, one of them is, what's your spouse's favorite color?
I'm inclined to say, like, candied ginger is a good one. Mainly because I see that as a snack. Some kinds of, like, dark, like, salty chocolates. Probably candied oranges. Like, those kinds of range where it's a sharp kind of flavor is what I associate with you most, or...
I do like bright. What about, like, sort of meal scale stuff? Like,
That's a good question. You like soups as much as I do. You tend to like much more tuberous or rooty kind of soups.
That's true.
I'm trying to... I think you tend to like things a little bit more citrusy or more acidic than I do. I think I might like it a little heavier on spice. And I think we both go back and forth on salt, but I'm not certain of a specific food. It's more the like flavor range that I associate.
I like ginger and I like lemon.
Yeah, like you're more citrusy. You're more in the sharper kinds of tones and flavors.
Yeah, I mean, you're spot on with ginger and lemon and dark chocolate and root vegetables. Those are all things I'm very into.
And cheeses, but not just cheese in general for both of us, but you like, I kind of want to say, like, you like the kind of stuff that can go with apples.
I do. Well, very literally, that is like a comfort snack I do, is I'll eat cheese and apples, so.
Yep.
I'm thinking of things that are comfort foods here. I mean, I know things that you find cozy about what I make, the pot pie.
Yes.
That's like stated that, favorites. And now I know also favorites. That the lemon meringue pie recipe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is one of my favorites because it's...
And homemade bread.
Yeah. And homemade bread, mainly because it gives me an excuse to eat a lot of cream cheese and
it's
goat cheese.
It's good for
cheese.
Toppings. It's an accompaniment.
Yes. It's the appropriate kind of receptacle for toppings that I would not otherwise touch.
Mm-hmm.
also it gives me an excuse to have balsamic vinaigrette, a bunch of sesame seeds, nutritional yeast, and
croissants. Yes, I have trained you in the ways of just putting a fuckload of toppings on toast.
That's how I've gotten like light lunches out of like leftovers that we have.
It's when
good.
We have just stack some stuff on open face sandwich.
Yes, it's the kind of thing that a hipster restaurant would make. Charge $12 for.
Indeed. But yeah, this is the second one of these lists that asks what your partner was wearing on their first date with you. Do people remember this? I genuinely don't know.
I feel like it's one of those memories people like to latch onto. It's like, oh, I knew from the first moment I met them.
I'm
like,
saw them walk into the restaurant.
My biggest memory of meeting you the first time was just, I don't know what gender this person is, and that both scares me and intrigues me.
I mainly remember like how cute your nails were and watching you play the charango.
Yeah, that was basically it.
Yeah.
That just seemed like such a frivolous detail.
Also, more often, if I remember outfits from a thing that we went to, I remember my outfit. I don't remember yours.
Yeah. I didn't really try and be memorable with outfits.
Like, I remember what I wore to Valentine's because I remember getting dressed up, but I don't remember what you wore. I assume you wore a dress.
Sometimes it would be dresses. Sometimes it would be like nice slacks and button-up shirts.
That's true.
Because it was a good period of time where I did that too. Mm-hmm. That was. I think you could chart that by how I went to social dancing and how that changed over time. Because when I stopped doing that setup and I started doing more dresses or those kinds of things, then that was probably when I started to think about clothing more. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Here's one that we probably can figure out. If you could take over one household
chore for your spouse.
I mean, I would assume that if I could do bathroom trash stuff forever God, and you didn't have to do that, that would be...
God, yes.
Yeah.
I don't handle bathroom-related stuff well.
I don't adore it, but it's very muddy. I do not have germaphobia.
Probably dishes. Not necessarily because I like them, but because I'm just the most used to doing them at this
point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is a rhythm and just always... Yeah. Those will probably neither of those be perfectly true ever because life is fickle.
It is very nice to know.
Yeah, there's a couple. I'm interested to see what ones overlap. This is one of another list, too, asked what you think your partner's
dream job would be.
Some combination of after school activities, guidance activities counselor of some kind, and like nature instructor of some kind. But specifically, like if it got to specialize with dealing with like local varieties of like flora and fungi, I think it would make you happy. Especially if it was something that made you feel like you were back in NorCal. Because I think the elements of NorCal that I always remember you being happiest about were like mentioning, what was it, like the redwoods and that part? And not so much just like wanting to be like a person of the woods, because you do that much.
I like the woods, but I like cities too a lot more than I thought I was going to, you know.
But I think part of what I've seen you enjoy the most about that is just the sense of when you see kids also getting to have that sense of wonder when they finally get to like see this place in the way that I think you always see it, and they get a fraction of it. And I've always seen you think of like the forest as a place that is, it's just a sign that life's around you and it keeps kind of going on, and not a terrible way, not a positive way. It just goes on. It's not gonna really care that much about you or what have you, but you have an impact, you have a role here, and you're not alone ever and all that. And it's always something that teaches you a bunch of really cool, amazing stuff, because nature is really fucking cool, but everyone else just needs to get on your level of appreciating how just inherently cool nature is.
Have I mentioned lately that I'm incredibly gay for you?
You do this quite regularly, dear.
My eyes are a little wet now, because that was a really fucking sweet description of a bunch of things that matter to me on a really deep emotional level, and having them mirrored back to me really tenderly was really lovely. And I don't know, I came in prepared to mock the newlywed game stuff, but some of this is actually kind of charming.
No, I assume that it was going to be some mixture of like, oh, there's a good diamond in the rough, and there's also some that make me think, are the straights okay? The answer is frequently no.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah. No, I genuinely think part of what makes you happiest with teaching kids is when you get to see wonder and joy on their faces. I don't think necessarily it's always the activity planning, but I think if it were something that were able to incorporate trying to share and bring that wonder and love that you have of nature, and especially of the forest, then I think that would make you happy.
Also, frankly, and take note, people who work in education on the bureaucratic level, I do like activity planning when I have enough time and I'm compensated adequately. But usually that's not the case, and so it all gets a little scrunched. But yeah, I can think of more than one dream job that I could have, but that, like, is a very beautiful articulation of kind of one of the key things I think about. I feel like for you, you're getting to do some elements of what I think of as your dream job, and I feel like a lot of it would be about, like, thoroughness and stability and range of creative options on things, too, that, like, if you got to make more music, if you got to do more cool, like, social and collaborative stuff with people, if you got more paid for some of the stuff that you're doing mostly for free and got to be more, like, affirmed on that. I also feel like I love when you get to, like, speak on panels, or, like, in the past you did more workshop running and things too. And I don't know if that's, like, a dream of yours to do more, but I feel like that's a really cool and valuable, you know, how to do. And if that was, like, part of the cycle.
I think I really enjoy getting to do that, and I might have an opportunity to do that come soon. Mm-hmm. I think what I like about it is the sense of getting to put a lot of the skills that I was trained in for philosophy to good use. Yeah. That felt, like, actually practical, because everyone jokes that, like, a philosophy degree is pretty much useless. Uh-huh. But I think those folks never did philosophy while also doing organizing on campuses and thinking about how you present different things to people. Because obviously, like, no oppressed group's rage and what have you needs to be palatable in any way, shape, or form to be worthwhile or to be correct in a lot of ways. But knowing how to get multiple ins to get resources to people who deserve them or should by all rights have had them if it were not for the way that structural oppression works, continues to flourish in our world. I like knowing how to get, knowing multiple ways to say the same kind of thing. And I think that's a skill that's very difficult to translate in an accessible way to multiple people unless you actively are trying to work on that. And workshops felt like they were always an exercise in figuring out how to get across these things that for me feel intuitive after a certain point. Like knowing a certain thing or having a position on something is less at times about me having certain emotions or research or knowledge based on it, and more just what comes to feel with a sense of like naturalized or what is correct in my worldview. And knowing that that worldview will have to shift multiple times over the course of my life. Workshops are a very interesting exercise in trying to see at what level are you working to bring people into that same relative space of understanding. Because I don't think you can ever get perfect understanding with translating any sort of knowledge, because there's always some sense of just losing stuff in translation. But there's something very rewarding and enriching about seeing folks come from a place of like, I wasn't sure what to expect from this, but that felt very informative, but not overwhelming. And also knowing the points where you need to be stronger and push on people and not let certain things stand in, like, let's say, a facilitated conversation context. So workshop running would be really nice. And also just creative works that involve, like, teaching or passing down skills to, like, I personally work, for folks who don't already know, a lot in, like, streaming for tabletop role-playing games, usually in a variety of different Twitch channels and such. And I think one of the biggest things when people tell me I'm a good storyteller, or like have really enjoyed a GM that's affirming, is when I get the sense that that didn't feel like it was trying super hard in some ways to do it, and figuring out how to get across to people, how to translate that element of it to other people to tell them that like storytelling is, I don't want to say natural to everybody, but everyone is always involved in play and game. It's one of the most rewarding thing people can do, and it is I'd say one of the most like simple and natural things to humans overall.
It is very human.
Telling stories is easy. Performing is different. being able to improv, knowing how to do quick math for if you do dice rolls and stuff, because like folks have dyscalculia and things like that that make it difficult for them to do and what have you. But translating elements into a story, it's not hard. We're just talking about different things, and just we are imagining different worlds. And half the time, that's always built off of what we tend to think of as worthwhile to imagine happening in our own lives, or what's a worthwhile departure. And in doing that work, you're always also doing imaginative theorizing and sort of philosophical work to me. Like, storytelling is a form of practice philosophy. It's a form of applied philosophy in the sense of like, if all people have to think about a new place is what you impart to them through descriptions, through language, through sound, through foods, through images, if all they have about a subject is this, that's a lot of responsibility on you to actually think about what are you giving them, what is natural, and this is just how things
are. What do you need to scaffold? What do you need to set up to make something like comprehensible and clear? And are you even trying to communicate?
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think, the overlap of where workshop facilitation and like storytelling through creative formats overlap, and where I said I'd be really happy doing that in a long-term basis.
Well, that would be a wild-ass answer to try to give it a bachelorette party. Really perfect for a podcast, I think.
I mean, my bachelorette party version of that would just be, it's nice to tell stories with people and get them to like feel like they know stuff about something that you have like 8,000 bits of experience on and they don't know anything.
But if you can turn it into a story, what would you?
And it's not just about like turning it into a tidbit. It's just, it's just about like, turn it into something that resonates with people. That's it. It's all you needed to be half the time. A story, one of my favorite quotes about writing, but I also think works about stories overall, is that a poem always runs the risk of being meaningless, and it would be nothing without that risk. And I think the same can be said of stories. Stories can always run the risk of being entirely meaningless to someone, and that's okay. That's part of what knowledge, and that's the danger and the possibility of knowledge, is that this for some people will mean absolutely nothing. For other people, it will be revelatory. And for other people, it will be like, huh.
Yep. Yeah, we've been going for like 40-ish minutes, so we can probably start to wrap soon, but there's a few more fun ones in this one. I'm also noticing overlaps between the lists. Things that these lists really think are fun party questions about your spouse are their shoe size. I don't understand.
That's a profoundly uninteresting question. It's such a boring question.
I don't know why you would be interested in this.
And you kind of like one of the ones sort of paralleling the like, what clothing of theirs do you hate? This one just says, what item of yours would your spouse love to get rid of? Like, what thing do they secretly want to junk? I feel like that's more relevant if you've had a much longer time to accumulate stuff with someone, in a way where, like, there might be things you want to clear out. But also just like, no, I can't think of anything like that.
It's more stuff you just have to help remind me to get rid of. That's more from executive dysfunction, because we both have executive dysfunction problems.
It's not like there's things that you're holding on to that I hate that you're holding on to.
No, most of the time it's just, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. So it's like, oh shit, we forgot to recycle that. Also, this one, definitely not answering. I don't think people should. This one, I imagine someone could answer it funnily, but I think it's, this is the most comically awkward one that sounds like it's from a movie. If your mother-in-law were an animal, what animal would she be? There's a lot of layers in that one, and I do not want to actually answer that one in the way that I feel like the spirit of this question is. It also assumes that both sides have mother-in-laws, so heterosexuality.
Duck.
Why a duck?
You ever seen how well coordinated a duck is with their duckling? Ooh. With getting like details and such oriented and making sure they're safe? That's how your mom is around making sure plans and stuff that she cares about go to plan.
That's fair, you know?
It's not in any way meant in a negative sense. It's just your mother is very good at planning and getting little details done. And it makes me think of like duck watching over ducklings.
I feel like the obvious for your mom is a bear. But style-wise, she was also so fucking into fairies that I feel like butterfly would work.
Yeah, honestly, both of those. I think she was a butterfly that never really got to fully spread out wings to fly. Yeah.
This is much more goofy, but my brain just went bear to fly. And
I feel like she'd have liked that. I'm sure there's a fae and or a fairy or some other
a very like, woodland and powerful spirit. Battle fae, the bear to fly.
I was just imagining a cozy.
Well, they both have like hibernate, wind down, sleep cycle stuff. That's cool.
Butterbear.
Okay, we made that question nicer than I thought.
Fly bear?
I don't know.
We could probably do like one or two more questions.
Yeah, there's just a few that I like don't really feel like we need to answer, but they're just like things I'm noticing all these lists want. Like several of these ask for like your spouse's greatest fear, which feels weirdly to me like we're in a Batman villain situation. Like how can you defeat your spouse? What is their weakness?
Probably infection.
Yeah, that's fair. You have like really distinct phobias.
Very easy to actually target for fear.
Yeah.
I fear everything and like three or four specific things.
Yeah. I have lots of anxieties. I have trouble pinpointing a concept of like.
You have minion level fears that just all come every day.
And I have big existential anxieties too, but like those are hard for people to individually activate. I mean, like, I'm afraid for the planet and climate change shit. I like, but you can't really jump out from around a corner with that.
You just come out as like a PowerPoint. You just come out dressed as a PowerPoint of current levels of glacier melt.
You dress as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Okay, that would be like the weirdest burlesque, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch.
That may be one of the oddest things you have ever said to me in any conversation we have ever had. And you've said a lot of weird things to me.
I know I have. Well, at least we got this one on record, huh?
Oh, God. God.
I gotta keep you guessing.
Let's try one more.
I'm gonna try to find
hopefully
a nice
good
one.
One.
I'm gonna try to find one to a good one to end on. Give me a sec.
This one's kind of sweet.
What will your spouse say is the nicest thing you did for them in the past week?
Sous chef for me while I was making jambalaya for friends, fully vaccinated friends who came up for a visit. This is like one of the first social outings with people in our backyard.
Yeah, this is the first time I've seen a person that I hadn't seen in like a last time. It was very surreal.
That's probably it. Mainly because it made me feel more at ease and made the whole process of making carrot cake and veggie jambalaya.
I also feel like a periodic thing I do that you find nice that's partially a function of my exhaustion is just like making dinner plans when we don't have a dinner plan. Texting you, hey, guess what? I bought takeout because I don't want to think about this, and I bet you didn't either.
I'm coming home with banh mi. With lots of food focus.
Yeah, we tend to build.
Food is love.
Food is love. Food is care. If someone tells you food, like making food for someone, is not an act of care, they don't actually know what acts food of care is... are. Plebeians.
Have we done a cooking episode already? If we haven't, we should.
Why don't we put that on the docket for next one? That gives us an easy one to talk about food and such.
Right? Even if we talked about it before, I'm sure we could talk about it more.
Honestly, we can always talk more about food. But I think that puts.
Hey, babe.
If you say you're really gay for me one more time.
I was gonna say thank you for encouraging
me tonight because I went all brain foggy and crappy, but this ended up being really nice. But also, I'm really gay for you.
God damn it.
Third time's the charm. The spell has been activated.
I'm cursed with unceasing love. Devotion and love.
Yeah, almost 10 years of it. Whatever shall you do?
Ugh, gay.
So gay. Well, anyway, I'm Moss.
I'm Angela.
And as always, we are Queerly Yours.
Queerly Yours is edited and produced by Moss Bosch, with intro and outro music by Angela Lemos Mogrovejo.